Good to have you here. It's time to get into the Word of God. I was thinking here a few days ago, many, many, many decades ago, when we lived far, far away in a city a long, long way away, and we pastored there. And I really loved the people there. And one day, I had a couple to come to me, and they said, "Well, Pastor, I want you to know that God has told us that we are married, that we don't have to go to the justice of the peace. We don't have to have you say any words over us, that we are married. And we felt it in our hearts, and we believe it to be true. And the Holy Spirit has told us, because we love one another, we can live with one another in the same house, in the same bed, and we're married." And I guess they were a little disappointed when I didn't congratulate them. And I said, "You know, you made a statement. You said that God told you that you are married, husband and wife. But I don't know why he ignored me. I don't know why he didn't tell me you were married as your pastor." And they went ahead and got married. And they said to me, "Well, Pastor," I tried to explain to them, says, "as long as we love one another." I mean, they were really, really excited, you know, on the gauge of feelings. They were way up there. So now, "Well, Pastor, what does this have to do with spiritual warfare?" It has everything to do with spiritual warfare. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but wicked spirits and evil places." And the devil is a liar. He was a liar from the beginning. There is no truth in him, Jesus said. Been a liar all the time. And one of his specialties, because he is a liar, is to get you to believe lies. And one of the ways that he gets you to believe a lie is through a facet of spiritual warfare that we all have. And that facet that is involved in spiritual warfare is our emotions. It's our feelings. And we live in a society more and more, even from back then to this day and getting worse, that if you feel it, you should believe it. And if you believe it, you ought to be able to do it. How many of y'all want to say amen to that? I'm not giving an amen to that, because the devil is a liar and he wants us to live a lie and say it's okay. As one song many decades ago, telling my age even more, that went like this. How many of you, tell me later if you remember that song. Hopefully you didn't practice it. Song went a little bit like this. One of the lines says, "If loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right." How many of you remember that? Tell me later, like I said. If loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. In other words, I'll do what's wrong because it's what I want to do. And that's a lie from the devil. Nowhere in Scripture does God say, "If it feels good, do it." And that's the kind of theology, sadly, many and many churches go along with. That if it feels good, if loving you is wrong, and the definition is a lie of what love is. It is sin. That is not love. Love is not sin. And we find even in the Christian community that more and more people is adapting a philosophy and a theology that as long as you love the person or with your own self, that as long as you have love, it doesn't matter who you say you are, who you say you love, and it doesn't matter how God created you, as long as you love yourself. He may have created you as a male, but you see yourself as a female, and vice versa. And as long as you have love, and you love yourself and you love others, it's okay. Is that what the Bible says? And I'm not going to give a whole sermon on that today, but I want to challenge you to look at Scripture and see if you can find anywhere where emotions are your bona fide, your seal, that as long as you have love and you're happy and you're not hurting, quote unquote, nobody, it's okay to do what you want to do. Because I can't tell you who to, and I won't repeat the rest of that song. Some of you who are old like me know what I'm talking about. That's the world we live in today. But I'm telling you that that is a world dominated by Satan. Satan is a murderer and a liar. He does not want to see people multiply. He wants to see the human race decreased. But I hope nobody, and if someone here is listening to this message, I'm giving this message because we need help. We need the help of the Lord. We need to follow His way, not our way, and not this world's way. We're not to look for alternative truths. There's but one truth. If it's true, it's true, and it's the Word of God. The devil wants you to believe in his lies that there are alternative facts, okay? Alternative lifestyles. That's what Adam and Eve were like. Hath the Lord really said, blah, 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 blah. Begin to doubt. The woman took the fruit and said, oh, it looks good to me. So if it looks good, tastes good, it ought to be good, and it ought to be okay with God. But it wasn't. That was the work of the devil. Do not allow the devil to whisper in your ear, to get you emotionally charged with a theology or a lifestyle that is sin, because it is not going to bring you joy and peace and happiness. And so I'm giving this message today to help us all to realize that God has, yes, given us emotions. But those emotions should be like a gauge. I brought a rain gauge with me here. You stick this in the ground, it rain comes in it, and it goes up a scale. And we can say, oh, last week it rained so many inches. Our emotions, God gave us emotions and feelings to be like a scale. Okay? Not as a directive to go and do that. It is a scale that our emotional level can go all the way up to 5 inches, 12 centimeters. Boy, I really love her. Or he really loves me. Or, you know, it's good if I do this or that. God did not give us emotions to be and to give us directions. This is for a gauge. You have that much feeling. That's great. But you got to have the right direction you point those feelings towards. So remember, He's not giving us a direction. Okay, since you feel that strongly about that person, you don't have to get married. You don't just go shack up. Oh, excuse me. Get married. Live together. Whatever you want to use. If you feel like it, then it ought to be all right. That's not true. God has given us the ability to not only feel something, but the ability to do something. And we need to rely on His word as to whether or not we should do it, especially if we call ourselves Christians. Our spiritual power comes from our relationship with Jesus Christ. And if we claim to be Christians, we need to follow what Jesus said and not because our feelings go up to a 10 or to 100. I hope this is making sense to you, because I think we need to be armed in this society and in this time to be careful about our feelings. You know what? See what I have in my hand here? I hope you can see it. I hope my big hand is not in the way. This is a heart. This heart is symbolic. Da-da-da, going that side, where should I go? This heart is symbolic of your feelings. This arrow is a direction of your feelings. Those feelings can either go up or down, but they are not meant to be your ticket to do what you want to do. It's your feelings. And God does tell us who and how those feelings should be. If we call ourselves Christians, you say, oh, you're trying to make me doubt my Christianity. No, I'm just saying that this is God made us with feelings. Why? He wanted us to have a relationship with him, to enjoy him, to rejoice in him. I love it when we can sing songs that are full of joy and full of glory to God. That mighty fortress is our God. That was a powerful song filled with emotions of the power of God and how no evil can prevail because of our God. God created us to have a relationship with him, an intimate, personal, fulfilling relationship with him. God has called me to love him even more than my beautiful, wonderful, dear, lovely wife. And God has called her to love me more than the man that I am. See, what kind of man is that? A man who loves God, hopefully, and who loves her, who loves my children and grandchildren. God wants us to enjoy. The song we often sing here at Christ Church of Grace is, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." See, tasting involves our emotions because we can taste it, we can experience it, but we need to enjoy God more than anything else because he is the one who gives us the pleasure. We should seek pleasure. That's not a sin. If God is our object and we seek his pleasure and then give him praise and glory, that's what it's all about. Not something that is contrary to God, but something that is in line with God. So therefore, my brothers and sisters, Jesus, we have here is the title of this sermon, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is our truth. He is the way. When we wonder what we should do, the lifestyle we should live, we should go to Jesus. You know why? Oh, I could give you many reasons. One of the major reasons is that he has given us life. And he is the way, the truth, and the life. See, this is not just something you do. This is something you are. We are to live in the truth. We should walk in the way. We should live that life and share it with others. God's not against that. He's for that. He wants us to love each other and what real love is. But we have to realize that we are fallen and we live in a fallen world. See, what do you mean by that, Pastor? Let me try to explain. When Adam and Eve sinned, all of humanity sinned. Their sins was passed on to us. And we are sinners because not because of what they did necessarily and totally, but our sins as well. Like Adam and Eve, we have valued things other than God. It reminded me of Esau and Jacob, his two brothers. And Esau had this great, great gift that his father had given him. And he got hungry one day. And his emotional level for food, I mean, it just skyrocketed. The gauge went up. And his brother Jacob came by, and Esau, well, he was a great cook, could make them grits and so forth and all of that. And he asked his brother Jacob for it. And Jacob says, only if you give me your birthright, your inheritance. And Esau paused a little bit, but he didn't go to the Lord about this. He said, what's good going to be for me if I starve to death and have an inheritance? So he sold his inheritance. to Jacob. To Jacob. He sold it based on his feelings. I'm hungry, folks. Pass the cereal. And he was feeling strong about it. And he took it that this is an action that I'm going to take. I'm hungry. I'm going to satisfy myself. But he found out later, hey, what have I done? Because he was going on his feelings. And his feelings were at a 10 or 100, whatever the max was. The feelings are a gauge to measure how strongly you feel about something, but not whether you should do it. It's a gauge, not a compass. Go that way and do what you want or get what you want. No. If you can remember, folks, that if you get excited about something that you wonder is right or wrong, remember, it's not an indicative that God is calling you to do. It's not a direction he's calling you to go. This is just saying, this is how strongly I feel about it. God wants us to feel strongly about him. If we had a passion for the Lord, oh, we'd be in so much better shape as a society, as a world, as families. If we would love God with all of our heart and soul and being, and our neighbors ourselves, oh, what a wonderful world. But no, we love ourselves. We love whatever we want to do with our bodies. It's my body. You know, they used to have another saint. I won't go on these saints. You know some of them. Some of you are a little older like me. But it's not right. Love has been messed up, has been falsely labeled. And we need to realize it's coming from our fallen nature. If you feel a certain way, realize that we have a fallen nature. And that's where it's coming from, our fallen nature. Also realize that we have an enemy. We have a spirit being and spirit beings, demons, who want to stir you up to kill you. That's right. The devil is not only a liar, he's a murderer. He gave Adam and Eve, oh, you can eat of that food. You won't surely die. God knows you won't die. He's just trying to keep you from some good food. That's a lie. He's a liar and a murderer. Realize that our nature is wired that way. We are wired to follow the way of evil and the devil. The carnal mind, Romans 8:7 says, is enmity against God and is not subject to the law of God. Neither can it be on its own without God changing us. So you have a line, a wire in your nature that picks up the ways of the devil and makes it easier for you to go along and do what the devil does. You also have to realize that the devil can influence, can't make you do anything, but he can influence you. Just like he did Adam and Eve. Oh, you won't die. Go and eat it. He doesn't love you. He doesn't want you to really enjoy life, because that is following the ways of the Lord and loving the Lord your God with all of your heart, not your neighbor's wife with all your heart, or this whatever sin you want to put in there. And just because it feels good, oh boy, when I do that sin, oh, I go up to a size 10, you know, 100, boy. And you mistake that as to being right, because it feels good. It's a lie when they say, if it feels good, do it. You'll be dead. God says, Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and life more abundantly. That's what it's all about. God did not create our emotions to be our guides. What you feel, it should not be your guides, but to be your gauge. I'm going to say that again. Our feelings were created not to be our guides, to guide us this way or that way. but to be gauges as to how intently or how much you, blah, blah, hopefully love and worship God. But many of us have been hooked on a feeling. But God is greater than all of our sins. And God can free us from whatever we're addicted to, whether it's legal or illegal, or whether it's something that you think in your mind people ought to be able to do as long as they love one another. It leads to death. The devil is a liar and he's a murderer. He will lie. He will whisper in your ear to bring you to the pit of death. Do not follow it. Turn your heart toward Jesus and ask him to change your heart so that you might love him. Whatever you're addicted to, whether it's alcohol, sex, whatever it may be, God is greater and he can deliver you. But don't take what you experience in your emotions as the gauge or the guidance. Your gauge as to the intensity, but they don't mean that you, God does not mean that you should follow them. Father in heaven, Jesus, you are the way, the truth, and the life. And Father, I pray that you would use Jesus in our lives to be the way. Forgive us for following our own ways and making up our own truth and our own lives and our own lifestyles. Turn us back to you. Open the eyes of our hearts so we might see you and enjoy you now and forevermore. And we ask this, we ask for the freedom. We ask that you would free us and fill us with your love. We want the real thing. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And it's interesting that the very life of Christ given to us through his body and blood is something that strengthens us. It is something that we participate in. Let's go to Matthew 26. And let's begin reading in verse 27 that night. And again, we have food. We have wine. We have bread. We have singing. This is pleasurable. This is rejoicing in the Lord. Verse 27, then he took the cup. I'm sorry, I want to start verse 26. And while they were eating, notice they're eating. They're enjoying themselves. Jesus took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to his disciples saying, take and eat. This is my body. And as I explained before, I'll explain again. When we receive the bread and the wine, as they did that night, they are receiving Christ and they are eating of his body. They are participating in Christ. When we eat and drink, when we put our faith in him, we are participating. We're becoming like him. We're participating in him and he in us. This overcomes all sin because he died to remove sin and the devil's power of sin over us and with us. He breaks it by his own death, taking on all of our sins, all of our addictions, all of our failures. And we participate in the body of Christ. In that, spiritually, he lives in us and we live in him. And while they were eating, Jesus took bread and he gave thanks. He was thankful. We ought to be so thankful that Jesus has given us his life. Not death, not sin, but life and life forevermore. And Jesus took bread, piece of bread, like I'm taking a piece of bread here. And he gave thanks. And Father, I thank you for this bread, your body, that you have brought us into your body spiritually. And you are strengthening us body and soul. And we rejoice in that, Lord. It is a pleasure. Thank you for the honor and pleasure of being a part of your body. And so now we ask that you would bless this bread and bless us to be able to partake of the body of Jesus Christ. Thank you for this great blessing. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And then it goes on to say in verse 27, they took the cup and he gave thanks and he offered it to them, saying, drink from it. Wow. God wants us to enjoy his life. The wine is a type of the blood, the life of Christ. And he gave his life. He shed his blood for us so that we might live and enjoy life. Not indulge in sin. Not create our own reality of what righteousness and love and sin is. God so loved the world, John 3:16. Look at that gauge. God so loved the world, that's off the charts, that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And he says, come to me and I'll give you life. That's the imperative, come. That's the action, come to me. Nothing else can satisfy you. Nothing else, no one else can save you. Oh, Lord, right now, as this word is going forward, Father, I just pray that you would change hearts, that people will yearn for you, not yearn for sin, not follow after Satan and his sinful ways, and it's only death and destruction, but they experience real love. So love them, Lord, that they will come to you. And then he took the cup, the wine. He said, drink from it. Notice how he wants us to partake of him. He wants us to enjoy it. Drink from it. Enjoy it. Enjoy me, because the wine is a type of the life of Christ that he gave to us to enjoy. This is my blood. And it's serious. It's of a covenant. I'm giving my life. I'm staking my life on this, that I will fulfill it, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. God's not going to hold our sins against us. He doesn't hold them against us. He says, come unto me and I will give you life. I will, though your sins be as scarlet, I will make them as white as snow. We don't have to stay stuck in that sinful death lifestyle, but live forever with God. You can't beat that. No sin, no matter where it is on the chart, can get higher than God. And he says, come to me and I'll give you life. Life everlasting. So Father, we ask that you would call people, you would save us, and that, oh, it would be irresistible. That all men and women will be drawn to you. We ask that you would do this, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And as we eat and drink, eat of the bread and drink of the wine, let's listen to this beautiful piece of music entitled, I Find My Peace. I Find My Peace. Let's play that.
Come near to me, closer to me, Jesus, don't let me go, no other help I know, Jesus, Jesus, darkness flee, Jesus. I I can do anything as you strengthen me, Jesus. So when the enemy tries to come for me, I will not fear because you've prayed for me. to me, closer to me, Jesus.